T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. We went back to the big whiteboard. We checked out our alignments from the first half, and now we made our halftime adjustments. Got a little light massage, a little drink of water. We're ready to go for the second half of Sports Talk on a Thursday evening. I'm Mark Menard in for Christian Garrick, along with Bobby Hebert. And this hour, Who Dat Nation, tee up all of your draft questions. We've got the guru in the house, Mike Dettillier. Mike, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Mark.
Mike, I'm going to lead off with this one. We're going to start with an easy one. I'm going to throw you a softball. Who are the Saints pick in the first round?
Okay. if I had to, and I haven't went directly to the printer yet, okay, so let me just tell you that.
All right.
But if I had to today, I would go with Greg Newsome, the cornerback from Northwestern.
And why do you like
Northwestern
him?
State in Louisiana, Northwestern in
Chicago,
in Illinois. Yeah.
Zach Streif's Northwestern.
Yeah.
Zach will like that pick. No, listen, he's he's a 6-foot corner. He went to IMG Academy in Florida. Man, he's technically so sound. His footwork, his movement skills, got really good speed. He's played in both zone and man coverage schemes. Played a lot of zone at Northwestern, but he can cover in the man situations also. And what I like about him, too, he comes up quick in run support. He can tackle. Man, to me, if I'm a GM or a head coach and I haven't seen a guy play, first thing I ask him is, okay, I get it. I understand he can cover. But he better damn well know how to tackle, because defenses are getting smaller today. You're playing a lot more nickel, a lot more dime coverage.
You got to run.
That cornerback's got to stop the run. You know, man, I see people with these 170-pound corners and stuff. Okay, that's great in the coverage part of the game, but can they stop the run? And that's something Newsome can do really well. I think 3 corners will go in the top 21, 22 players. I've had Patrick Surtain, my number one ranked corner, and it's a dead heat for the 2 spot between Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech and J.C. Horn. Joe Horn's son from South Carolina as a 2 guy. So those three guys, I think, will be off the board unless you trade up to get them. And I think Newsome would be a really good pick for this football team. His smarts, his matchup skills downfield, the fact that he's played in multiple package defenses, and that he's got the foot speed recovery ability you're looking for. And today, you just can't have a couple corners. You better have 4, because all I'm telling you is, in this sort of deal, it's all about matchups, and you better have them 3-4 corners that can match up downfield with people. So now, it would be Greg Newsome from Northwestern.
Yeah, Mike, to go in a different direction, though, because you have to play the field. And we look at the interior. Sheldon Rankins is now going to the Jets. Malcolm Brown, we got a 7-round pick. He's going with the Jacksonville Jaguars. What about the interior, like the defensive tackle position? Is that something it could be recognized? I was reading on different publications, Davion Nixon, defensive tackle from Iowa. You look at Christian Barmore from Alabama.
Bingo. You can stop right there.
Okay.
That's the guy. I think there will only be 1 defensive tackle taken in round 1. One All right. Pure defensive tackle. And I think it will be Barmore. And so I've talked to Pete Jenkins a lot about Christian because, you know, he works with the defensive line at University of Alabama. And he came in highly recruited. He originally, now get this, Bobby, he's from the Pennsylvania. He originally committed to Temple.
Whoa.
And then all of a sudden, as a senior, he blows up. And so now he got LSU, Alabama, Florida, Oklahoma, everybody's after him. And so he goes to Alabama. And it took him a little while to get everything straight. But if you watch from midseason to the national championship game, Christian Barmore was a stud inside. Not only can he stop the run, but also the fact that he gives you some pass rush potential inside that's really good. And he can run the field. And so I'd ask Pete, what do you think he can run? You know, and he was like, man, listen, I think he's under 5 flat 40. And basically, he ran a 5 flat when he worked out for the scouts. I mean, that's moving a 310-pound man. That's moving pretty doggone good.
Right.
So he would be a guy that I think will be in that neighborhood that he could possibly get selected. Because for me, it comes down to three guys. It came down to Newsom, Barmore, and man, I thought about this a long time, but if you go offense, Elijah Moore from Ole Miss, man, I could put him in the slot. he was an unbelievable player last year. Lane Kiffin came in and just kind of changed the world for Ole Miss. But if you watched him, he didn't play against LSU. He bowed out right before he opted out. But, man, his quickness, his foot speed, you can use him on the jet. Sweep plays, reverses. He catches that little short pass. He's a mismatch downfield. You know, he's like a running back out in the open field with his elusiveness, his field vision, his foot speed. He can help you out in the return game if you needed it there. Came down to them three guys. And that's what it'll come down for me when I finally make that final choice. It'll come down to those three guys. And today he worked out, ran under 4.4 in the 40-yard dash, and I sort of suspected that he would. But, man, he's just an electric player. He kind of got the bad rap put on him in the final game of 2019. If you remember, he scores late, and he sort of lifts his leg up like, you know, like the dog urinating on the, on the fire hydrant.
Right.
And, man, they got people that want to kick him out of school for that. I think, okay, he made a mistake. Put yourself in that position.
He's clowning around.
And messing around, and he gets called for a personal foul. They move the ball back. The kicker missed the extra point. And so Mississippi State wins. And we all know about the Egg Bowl and how that's looked at. But, man, he was just a terrific football player for him last year. And multi-position guy, but boy, I put him in the slot, and I'm saying, boys, y'all have good luck trying to cover him. Because at Ole Miss, you could do some things to sort of slide protection, people there to sort of slow him down. They could not do that. Nobody slowed him down. And, man, he was just magnificent out on the football field. And I think because he's not this king-size receiver, he'll probably fall into the 20s as a player. But, man, just look at production. Look at what he can do. And he brings that put-that-lump-in-your-throat element. That, man, put him on a fast turf like the Superdome for 8 games a year. He's mighty good.
Mike, hold that thought, and we're going to take a quick break right here, and we'll come back with more of Mike Dettillier answering all of your draft questions. If you want to get one in, 504-260-1870. That's 504-260-1870. Jay from Brooklyn, Kevin and Chalmette, see you both up there, and we're going to get to you after the break on WWL. Mark Menard in for Christian Garrick, along with Bobby Hebert and Houdat Nation. I hope you're taking notes. I hope you've taking all of this down, committing it to memory, getting a wealth of knowledge today. this hour from Mike Dettillier, our local WWL NFL draft guru, and we always appreciate the time that Mike gives us. If you want to get into the conversation, you got a question for Mike, 504-260-1870. That's 504-260-1870. The calls are starting to line up, and we're going to get to them. But, Bobby, Mike, you know Bobby's always got more questions. So Bobby's
always
got
more
one.
Questions for Mike. Always got more questions for Mike.
The big question is, do I have the answer?
No, you have the answer. I know you got the answer. Or if you don't have the answer, you're going to fake the funk and you're going to give me an answer. I mean, that's the bottom line. Mike, what I'm worried about, because you look at you're trying to keep up with the Joneses and the NFC South. We won the NFC South four times in a row. We're trying to five-peat. All I know is I thought we could hang with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when you look at Lavonte David. And, I was slipping my mind from LSU.
Devin White.
Okay, well, we had DeMario Davis and Quan Alexander. Yeah, we can hang with them. But now Kwan's not in the picture. Alex Azzalone, he's now with the Lions. And who's going to compliment DeMario Davis? Is that maybe a prospect or they won't be available unless we would trade up? And the two guys I have for you, I looked at a number of mock drafts. God, I hate it when they have these hard names, but Aziz from University of Georgia, and then the cat Jeremiah from Notre Dame. Would they not maybe fall that far back, or we'd have to move up maybe late teens, early 20s to get those guys?
Yeah, you'd probably have to move up to get either one of them. Jeremiah is a speed, quickness guy. Man, he can run the field. And he's not a big guy. But he's added probably 25 pounds since he went to Notre Dame, so he was a real skinny guy. But, man, can he run? He's prototypical for what you want from a standpoint of in the coverage part of the game. He does that really, really well. And you watched Notre Dame last year. He could match up against a tight end or a running back very, very well. Now, Ojulari is a pass rush specialist.
That being Aziz from Georgia Bulldogs.
Right. And so Ojulari, whose brother plays at LSU today, he's a guy that you, in a 3-4 defense, he's perfect because, he's going to be your edge guy. And on third downs, I can put him with his hand in the dirt and say, hey, listen, get after it. So he's versatile. He could play some defensive end, but really I think his best position is as a 3-4 outside linebacker, as a pass rusher. He has not been used a lot in the coverage part of the game. But, if I got a 3-4 defense, my thing on third down, I don't give a damn about if he can cover. I just want him to sack the quarterback. And so Ojulari brings that. Here's a guy to keep in mind. That's Zaven from Tulsa. Because here's a guy that was a former high school quarterback, wide receiver, and he sort of grew out of that position pretty quickly. Anybody watch the end of the Tulane game against Tulsa? It was him that made the interception late and ran it back and scored.
Oh, I remember that.
And he's a 6'3", 240-pound guy, but, man, can he run. He can cover well. And that's the thing is you don't see a lot of guys that size that can match up against a running back or a tight end. But he can really run. He can throw that big body in reverse pretty well. And he's a multi-position player. I could see him out on the edge, or I could see him as an inside linebacker. So Zaven Collins is a guy that I would sort of keep my eye on. Now, I just got a feeling he may be picked like right ahead of the Saints if you don't move up to get him.
Right.
But, man, he is really gifted as an athlete. And you sort of read the resume on him and that he played safety and linebacker and quarterback. Bob, how many guys did that? You know what comes to mind? John Lynch.
Right at Stanford.
Because he did that in high school. Now, I'm not comparing him to Lynch, but he's a big man that can really run, and he can throw that body in reverse. And so I think he's in that 22-20. I hate to say it, 26, 27, but he's in that range
right.
That he could potentially be there. I think the other two guys, I think, will be going only because Ojulari can rush the passer really well, and that's a key today. And he can back it up, man. He's got the stats to back it up. He's proved it out on the field. And Jeremiah, can, man, you know, if you're looking at a guy that I'll use this term, he looks like an LSU linebacker to me. He looks like a guy that would have played and been a perfect fit at LSU. You know, you look at Debo or Duke Riley, like Cox last year. All these guys, you know, kind of got a long, lean build to them. They look like almost like a big, strong safety.
Well, that's why
I think Jacoby Stevens, I didn't list him as a safety.
Right.
I put him as an outside linebacker because I think that's what he'll play in the NFL. He'll be that hybrid guy that can kind of play that outside linebacker strong safety position.
And Mike, that's why, look, the season's going to start in September, but what are you doing November, December, and the latter part if you have that stability there? Who's going to compliment DeMario Davis? Because, listen, I think Kwon Alexander, I don't know how he's going to come back from his Achilles, different players. Look at Sheldon Rankins. He parlayed that into a pretty good deal with the Jets. He had two Achilles, not one, but two. It'd be interesting to see the market for Kwon Alexander. I think he'd want to come back to the Saints. But doesn't that come into play, that who you compliment DeMario Davis with? Because it's like you might say 4-3-3-4. Now it's more like two linebackers.
Two linebackers.
With a hybrid guy like Chauncey Gardner, how you trying to play defensive football?
Bob, I haven't done all the numbers, but it looks like the Saints were like in nickel. I'm going to say like 78% of the time. Like
yes.
That. And like in the dime, it's like in the high 60s. So, man, you know, the base defense, okay, it's being played, what, about 20% of the time? You know, and in college, it's even worse. I mean, you probably, like at LSU, they're going to be in a base defense maybe 15% of the time. The rest of the time, they in either nickel or dime.
Yeah, you have to have the guys run sideline to sideline, bottom line.
So that 250-pound linebacker, and you always have the exception to the rule, and Zaven Collins is part of the exception to the rule because he not only can play as and he was really not used a lot as an edge rusher. He was used more like almost a traditional linebacker was at Tulsa. His ability to drop in reverse. If you got that guy that can't cover, then he's running out of downs in the NFL today. He's just running
right
out. So you got to get a guy that can match up. That's why I really think one name you will hear a lot as it gets closer to draft time, kind of kicking up very early into the second round, is Jabril Cox from LSU. Because, one, he's played inside and out on the edge, and he can cover. And isn't he sort of built like a strong safety? You take a look at him, you almost say, man, that he looks like a skinny guy, you know?
No, he's like a big safety, small linebacker.
And so you can match him up against a running back and a tight end. That's the way the game's going. You could say, okay, yeah, I want that 250-pound guy to stop the run. Okay, so if I put him in the game, guess what the quarterback's going to do as soon as I see him in there? I'm going to throw the football right where he's at because I don't think that he can cover him in those spots.
Amen, amen. Dick Butkus, as much as I respect Dick Butkus, he'd have been like his head would have been spinning around. Now, he'd been good on first down, first and 10, but after that, you got to take him out of the game. Just the way it is. Sorry.
You're running out of downs if you built like that. You know, and early in Dick's career, I think he could have matched up pretty well. But, you know, then once he started to get hurt, then that was it. He couldn't do it
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah, you can't run.
You can't run. So those type linebackers today, you know, I think Luke Kuechly right off the bat. Okay, he was a 6'3", 245-pound linebacker. There aren't a lot of cats walking this earth that could do what he could do in the coverage part of the game.
Amen.
Man, you watch. And Patrick Willis was similar when he was with the 49ers. He was no small guy, but he could drop back really well in the coverage part of the game. But, again, that's always going to be that exception to the rule with that. But for the most part, you better have a guy that can match up. And that's what Kwan could do. Now, even if I feel Kwan can come back from the Achilles injury, the big question mark with me is, can he last 16 games? Because he's had, you know, we all have watched him at LSU, with Tampa Bay,
49ers,
San Francisco, and now with the Saints. The question mark is not if he can play. The question mark is, can he last 16 games?
Mike, give me a modern-day version. I don't think he gets enough respect. He probably finally got their respect because they were world champions. Lavonte David. What he out in Nebraska, what he's done the last decade, Lavonte David, more than any other player, he was a poor, poor man's Luke Kuechly because Tampa Bay weren't winning anything. They weren't winning jack. But Lavonte David, all I know is he was at a Pro Bowl, if not an All-Pro level. I think every team would look at, come on, give me the next Lavonte David, considering his production, tackles. You can go on and on. Look at all the stats. I remember we played in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm looking at all this. I mean, I don't know. I said, I don't know if Tampa Bay has a chance to beat the Saints, but I know this guy's going to win. Lavonte David was an unbelievable stud even when their team sucked.
Yeah, and here's the story of the offseason. What does most Super Bowl teams have that has not happened in Tampa? Mass exodus.
Right, no, they're all staying home.
but look at Tampa Bay. Man, you know, it would be the Saints' luck, but this is unusual that to watch what's happening in Tampa, that they've been able to keep most of their guys on this football team. Because what happens when you win a Super Bowl?
Okay, everybody wants to get paid.
I got a championship. Man, I'm going to cash in somewhere.
Right.
Okay, so they go somewhere else. They get a nice paycheck. They may not be the right fit. They may get cut in a year or two, but they made a lot of money in that short time frame.
They got paid.
Look what's happened at Tampa. And Ndamukong Suh, Lavonte David, Shaquille Barrett, Christian Godwin. Chris Godwin, the receiver, and Gronkowski, they all stayed. Years ago, and even in the last four or five years, there has been a pretty good exodus of players that have a chance to leave to go somewhere else and sign a bigger contract.
Right.
The offseason for all this free agency talk, you know what is really to me that jumps out? That the Bucs have been able to keep all of that
to be stable. So, Mike, do you give Bruce Arians or the general manager credit? I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, it's unbelievable how the stability you have in Tampa Bay going into the 2021 season.
And here's the other part. And I've talked to a couple people on their staff that I know, and they tell me, you know who they think is maybe the best defensive player they have? It's Vita Vey. And he missed like three quarters of the season.
Oh, and that's a big part when they had this strong finish. That because he's a space eater. He occupies those blockers. Ndamukong Suh, he knows what Vita Vey is. Go, man! I could get $9 million and come play by Vita Vey, and I'll look good. Hello, he'll do the dirty work
too,
for me to help him to help me have success.
I go on another team and I get double teamed. If that big guy's in the lineup, they ain't double teaming me.
Right.
You know, they double teaming the young guy. And so, man, to think that he's going to be back and, you know, he missed a big chunk of the season. He came back late to finish it off.
Came back strong, yep.
Man, you think about that. That's even scarier. That team, as much talent as they had last year, and they did get to 10 wins, and there were some disappointments. Could be even better this year if they can stay healthy.
I agree. When you look at as we go into break now, Mike, I'm all on board. When you look at David Onyemata, now we don't have that complimentary piece right now. We don't know what's going to happen. But let me tell you, Postecoglou, Vita Vey, and Ndamukong Suh, man, Tampa Bay ain't going nowhere. They in the hunt right there again to try and repeat. Listen, that nothing to do with Tom Brady and the offense. I just know in the trenches, when you're point of attack, when you try to go in at him, that's about as good a duo of tackles on the defensive side. You have a rotation. I understand all that. But that's pretty damn good.
Also, you got Devin White and Lavonte David at linebacker.
Right.
Fill up every gap that you got.
If you've got a question for Mike Dettillier, call us up 504-260-1870. We're taking your calls right after this on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. Bobby Hebert and Mark Menard with you. And we've got Mike Dettillier with us for the whole hour, taking your questions on the draft. Who Dat Nation, get them in, 504-260-1870. That's 504-260-1870. And Mike, we're going to go straight to the phone lines for Pork Chop in Metairie. Pork Chop, welcome
Pork
into
Chop.
Sports Talk.
What's up, fellas? Good evening.
Good evening, Pork Chop.
How you doing, my friend? Look, Micah, first of all, one observation, one question. Man, guys, if y'all ain't got Mike's draft report, y'all are missing it, man. If you got any kind of interest at all in the NFL draft, man, I've been getting your book for years, Mike, and you've never disappointed, man. So thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it, buddy.
Amen.
Here's the deal. I've been reading that this next year's quarterback pool is not very good. Do you see the Saints being enamored with anybody at the quarterback position enough to trade up? And who would that be, Mike?
Well, what kind of ammunition do you have sitting at 28? I think that is the biggest question mark. Listen, you would love to see that, but I think this year they're gonna go with Jameis. I think they're going with Jameis Winston.
That's what
they're gonna go with Taysom Hill, and you know, if they pick a quarterback, it'll be down the line. Now, a lot of people have tried to drop Mac Jones at 28. He's not gonna last that long. Come on. Now you're gonna have four quarterbacks going to top five or six picks.
He's not gonna go past the Patriots, Mike.
So he's gonna be a teens pick in round one. Now, there's going to be a lot of debate on where he goes, and I get that, but I still think he's off the board. So to answer your question, man, when you're sitting at 28, you better have something really eye-opening to move up, because most of those teams, they don't want to trade that far back, you know, because I look at Miami, perfect example. They pick three, and we all know, no matter what the debate's going to go on, Trevor Lawrence is going to Jacksonville, and Zach Wilson's going to go to two spot to the Jets. Is what happens at three? That's the biggest intrigue. Now, I can't predict a trade, but if there's going to be one, that's going to be the spot, because Miami, you know, last year, they invested in Tua, and so they're going to ride with that. You know, that's who they wanted. That's who they're going to ride with in 2021.
Jameis Winston's better than Tua. Mark Mike, well, this is what I said, Mike. I don't know if you agree with this. I'm telling you, Jameis Winston has way more skins in the wall than Tua. Listen, you might be a Tua fan. I think Mac Jones is better than Tua as an NFL quarterback. You might not agree with me, but that's my opinion.
So if you're Miami, you may get a great deal to move back just a couple of three, four, five spots. Because what I see is, if I put that into it and I believe in him, now I got to put people around him. If I keep it at three, I pick Jamar Chase from LSU at three, okay? I give him a target that he can throw the football to downfield. With my later first-round pick, I need a big back. I'm going to go with Najee Harris. But if there's going to be a trade, it's going to be at three early, because I do think that's the spot. Miami doesn't need a quarterback, and they've already invested in Tua. They could afford to go back three, four spots. And even if Jamar's off the board, pick Devontae. So I team Tua back up with Devontae. They know each other. They've worked together at University of Alabama. For Miami, they sit in sort of in a catbird seat here with teams hungry for quarterbacks. And at three, if you're going to make a move, you're going to have to go there to get either Trey Lance from North Dakota State or Justin Fields from Ohio State. You're going to have to get to that three spot. Miami, to me, is sitting great, because with two first-round picks and you could afford maybe to peel back a few spots – okay, and even if you go to six or eight or nine, look at it this way. The four quarterbacks are off the board. Then you figure Jamar's going to come off the board, and Kyle Pitts is going to come off the board, and Panay, the big tackle, comes off the board. Devontae's still there for me if that's who I want, and I team him up with a guy that he's very familiar with, and I need a big back. I just think, Bob, like, we grew up in an era where we saw the Dolphins and what they could do in the 70s, and they had that running threesome.
They had Larry Zonka, Mercury Morris from
Jim
Wyoming,
Kick.
Then Jim Kick from Wyoming. Yeah.
And so if I'm the Dolphins, I look at it, and I see a big back, and I get you in South Florida in September, and even in October. Man, it's pretty hot down there, and I'll wear you
the
out.
Humidity, yes.
Man, because how many games, you know, and Shula was a great, and I'm not trying to take anything away. I think Shula was, he's one of the all-time greats. But he wore you out. And, man, in that heat and humidity of South Florida, you catch him in September and October down there, man, it is pretty warm. And if you got that big guy running the ball, he takes a lot of heat off of your quarterback.
And, you know, Mike, I'm going to put you on the spot right now. Because they're both Alabama quarterbacks succeeding at the highest level. NFL career, when all said and done, will Mac Jones have a better career than Tua, or will Tua have a better career than Mac Jones? I'm telling you right now, I'm going with Mac Jones. Okay, you going with Tua, I'm going with Mac Jones.
Goes to show you, we don't agree on everything.
Everything, yeah. We're not just being homers. That's your opinion. That's my opinion. Is that you think too? I think Mac Jones, because you know we have to wait and see how it's going to transpire and what's going to happen. But that's what makes football so great and so interesting, because
put
the competitive factor.
If Tua becomes the guy I think he can become, they are going to be major, and I'm talking about major contenders in the AFC.
But Mike, they will be, but Tua's not even as good as Fitzmagic, as an old man. Fitzmagic, without Fitzmagic, the Dolphins don't have a chance to go to the postseason.
Here's my deal. I'm interested to watch him in Washington now. Because he becomes the guy. You can talk about Hank Tyler and does he have a shot? But really, they really giving it to Fitzmagic.
Look how they paid him. They paid him to be the guy to represent the NFC East and win it again. I don't know Super Bowl, but to win the NFC East, they going with Fitzmagic. I agree with you there.
He's Bobby Hebert. I'm Mark Menard. Mike Dottillier is with us as well. Stay right there. More sports talk after the break on WWL. Bobby Hebert and Mark Menard with you on Sports Talk, winding down our time here with Mike Dottillier. And, Mike, how many Louisiana players do you see going in this year's first round?
Okay, Devontae, Jamar Chase, Terrace Marshall. So from LSU, that's two. And Devontae, who went to a meet, so that's a third. Those are the three that pop in my head pretty quickly. And Travis Etienne's got a shot. Now, again, running backs, we've seen the devaluation of that position, but he's got a shot there to do it.
Let's get back to the WWL talk and text line. Joey in Pearl River, you're on Sports Talk with Mike Dottillier.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Mike.
Going well.
Mike, with Troutman being about the only tight end we have left on the roster, you see the Saints utilizing a draft pick or free agency or undrafted free agency?
Well, they just signed Vinette, who was the big blocking tight end from Ohio State, who's sort of kicked around this league a little bit. But, you know, he's very similar to Josh Hill in that,
yes.
He's a really good run blocker. A good pass protector. He's a huge man. Now, Josh is a big guy, but he's even bigger than Josh is.
He's 2 years younger.
Yes, and he's not a dynamic receiver, but neither was Josh. You know, he could catch it, but he wasn't going to make a lot of yardage after the reception. So that brings you there. I could see them certainly getting another tight end somewhere in the draft class. But, you look at the way the Saints are built. It's always sort of built with the fullback and the tight end that can block, okay? And so you got that in free agency. You got Armoff from Carolina, and you got Vinette coming in free agency too. But I could certainly see them use a draft pick on a young tight end, though you're trying to develop Troutman and get him the most out of him as a player. But Sean likes to carry three tight ends, always has.
Yeah, and the one thing I'm telling you, Mike, they really like, he's weathered the storm. He's very disciplined. Gary Griffin from Air Force. He's been here, you know, on the practice squad. He's on the active roster. He's on the practice squad. You look at Gary Griffin, 6'4", you know, 240. It's going to be his fourth season. He's from the Air Force Academy. You're not paying him anything. I mean, I think they really respect a player like Gary Griffin in that tight end meeting room.
The only thing with that, for me, it would jump out as, do you have another guy that can stretch the field?
To beat him out, tight end?
And so that's going to be the big question mark. And really, you don't know who's going to be there and who's not. You kind of have an idea of who could potentially be there and who could not. But I do think another tight end is going to be added somewhere here. You're not going into the season with just Garrett and Troutman and Vanette. That's not happening. You're going to go in with another tight end somewhere,
Mike,
through free agency or the draft.
And, Mike, you know what's the craziest thing? I remember watching in practice. I think I'm getting this right, even in August. You know, I'm watching in practice one or two times. I'm going, well, who's this guy? Ethan Wolf.
Yep.
I mean, Ethan
From
Wolf,
Tennessee.
I'm looking at him, he's like, man, he looks like an NFL player. He's not, like trying to make an NFL team. He looks like a pro. I mean, so Ethan Wolf might be that dark horse because you're not paying him anything.
Yeah, and he's been a guy that he can catch the ball well. He's a big man, but he actually can catch the football really well.
Yep.
And, you know, he caught the ball well at Tennessee. He was with the Rams. It never worked out for him. But, man, tight end's going to be a spot to watch because, you know what, it's the one area that in this offseason that you can say you don't have a definitive starter. Troutman hasn't started. It's, you know, it's going to be his job to lose, but there's always those bit pieces around him.
Mike Dettillier, thanks so much for the time. We always appreciate you.
All right, guys. Y'all take care.
All right, Mike. All right, MD.
Bobby Hebert, Mark Menard coming back for one more hour of Sports Talk right after the news. Keep it right here. This is WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!